You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
If you like sitting around the porch or dinner table sharing stories with friends, that's what we like to do here at Our American Stories. I'm Lee Habib. We bring to you stories about American love, funny stories about first jobs, this day in history, American dreamers and marriages, and even the stories of music and acting legends. I invite you to sit around the porch with us as we share Our American Stories, 4 to 6 p.m. weekday afternoons on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
I'm John C. Scott, and over many years of broadcasting in Tucson, I have seldom recommended without any reservations an auto repair shop to keep my car running. I know nothing about car repair. If the car runs and it stops, it's good enough for me. I can tell you I've been ripped off so many times I can't count them. Finally, that's changed. Mike Emery at Perfection Auto Works has advertised on the station for years. I've paid no attention until the timing belt went out on my car, the engine was destroyed. I talked to Mike, he told me what I needed to do and what I needed not to do. I trust him. I'm glad I did. It saved me over $1,000. Mike and I aren't on the same political team, but we're friends, and I don't have to worry about my car ever again. Mike Emery's Perfection Auto Works hires only ASE certified technicians. They're the best. If you want peace of mind when it comes to repairing your car, talk to Mike Emery at Perfection Auto Works at 1046 North Beverly, or call him at 323-8650. Or you can find him online at perfectionautoworks.com. That's it. I trust Mike Emery. You can too.
For 40 years, I've been a cop who has worked sex crimes, child abuse, homicide, and domestic violence. I'm not a politician. I'm Chris Nanos. A cop wants to be your sheriff, unlike the current sheriff, who is a politician. I wouldn't spend my time in Washington, D.C. or hiding behind my office door. As your sheriff, I'll work to fix our dangerously overcrowded jail, cut our 911 response time, and vigorously recruit new deputies.
We need Nanos for sheriff. Paid for by Nanos for Sheriff.
Thank you. Good afternoon. And from the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. A great lineup of guests today. We'll start with Sam Stone, who is a GOP strategist, GOP consultant, and one of the brightest GOP leaders in the country. He is also an aide to Saul DeCiccio, who is a conservative Republican city council member in the city of Phoenix. And also, we'll talk with Pamela Powers Hanley. She is the progressive voice of the State House of Representatives, running again for the legislature in District Number 9. Then Larry Bodine will be with us. He is the president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, former award-winning reporter for the New York Daily News, and a lawyer and editor of the blog for Arizona. We'll talk about Justice Ginsburg's death. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, dead at the age of 87. Let's go to Sam Stone. Sam, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you could join us. Thank you so very much.
John, thank you for having me.
Well, let's fast forward ahead to November 4th. Here it is, November 4th, about this time of the day, late in the afternoon. It appears that Donald Trump has won a narrow victory, as he did 4 years ago, for President of the United States in a rerun for the Chief Executive's Office of the United States. Tell me how that could happen.
Well, I'll go through a couple of scenarios really quickly, John. We're going to know fairly early in the afternoon here, or early evening, if there's a Biden landslide on the way. Because Trump has to hold Pennsylvania, and he has to hold Georgia, and then eke out a win in Florida. And if Biden takes those three, or two of those three, or even one of those, Trump's path becomes very, very difficult. Next, it's moving on to the Rust Belt. A couple hours later in the evening, Wisconsin, Michigan, Indiana, and then our first really big wild card in a race that doesn't have many of them, Minnesota. So Minnesota is going to be one of those two states with Arizona that Trump has to win to make this work, unless you get a really odd scenario. So at that point for Trump, he can push through to Montana, Nevada, Arizona. If he holds all those, whether or not he wins Minnesota or Arizona, if he wins one of them, he's in.
What are the issues that are going to convince those people, and we're talking about a very narrow margin here, that those people who can do it one more time for Trump, We know they were looking for another voice. They were looking for somebody, an outsider, in Trump's victory 4 years ago. He's not an outsider anymore. So what is the issue that will drive these people by this slim margin to do it one more time? Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Well, a lot of it's going to come down to the behavior of Democrats, in, especially Democrat activists, in the next couple of months. I think the big story is the riots, John. And we're at the tipping point. And the Bader Ginsburg thing is potentially really dangerous for Democrats, because if we see another big burst of street violence between now and the election, then one of the really unlikely scenarios that sees a much larger Trump win comes into play. Then you start looking at states like Maine, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Virginia, Maryland. If those states, where a lot of people are fleeing to from the big eastern coastal cities, if those start to come into play, it's a very different scenario. And I think a lot of it depends on the behavior of Democrat activists.
We haven't mentioned the Southwest. What about Nevada, New Mexico, Arizona, where Biden appears to be up double digits in some polls? Double digits in this red state? Are you kidding me?
Oh, no, no, no. Look, any of those polls, and I've looked at a number of them, I seriously question some of the methodology and who they think is going to come out and vote and that kind of thing. I think it's going to be very, very close here in Arizona. I think Nevada, which Hillary won last time, could be put back into play for Trump, given what's been going on there economically. So is that possible? But even without that, if he can hold Arizona or flip in Minnesota, all he really has to do in terms of the western states is hold on to Montana.
What would draw these Rust Belt states into it again? Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, what would bring them back? And they have to come back, because it would appear from the polling that they're not where they were 4 years ago.
Well, that's true. But then again, I think one of the things we're seeing right now is you look at nationally, and especially in the swing states, you're seeing something between a 7% and 10% of the population that are saying they're undecided. I have a very hard time thinking they're undecided. I think those are decideds who don't want to declare their intention to a pollster. So the question is, where are they breaking? In those states, his record is not seen the same way it is on the coast. They understand reality, that you can't turn around years of losses of factories and jobs and all these kinds of things in any quick hurry. But they have seen somebody stepping up and fighting for them. And they've seen these trade deals that he's gotten done. Are they perfect? No. But at the end of the day, these folks have someone who's fighting for them, and that's made a difference. And I think it will make a difference in this election for them.
What does Pennsylvania tell you, Sam? You had a governor's race decided by Democrats, 700,000 votes, and you had a U.S. Senate seat by 800,000 votes. I mean, what happened there? It would appear that the Republicans just got the hell beat out of them.
Well, but you're talking about an election when there just wasn't a whole lot of Republican enthusiasm to come to the polls, right? So, you know, a lot of wave elections aren't big crests, they're valleys for the other side. And a lot of that was 2016 for Republicans. You tend to have big, you know, valleys after crests. So 2016, then 2018, excuse me. But, it's one of those things. Pennsylvania, it depends who turns out and how they turn out. And again, it's another state that's been heavily affected by the rioting and the arson and those kinds of things.
Now,
there's a lot of evidence that's going to have an impact.
You see, perhaps Trump slipping with the advantage he held with people in the military. I don't know how much play this losers and got in regard to that suckers and losers and that kind of situation. Did Trump lose a majority of the military that he enjoyed all the way through these 4 years?
No, absolutely not. It's frankly a ridiculous narrative. You know, I know a lot of folks who are in the military. I know a lot of military families. And I think the one thing you hear from them the most often is that in all these years since we got involved in Iraq and Afghanistan, Trump is the first president who's actually, you know, held up on his word to start drawing down those troops in really significant numbers. We have very small numbers of troops now left in Iraq and Afghanistan. And they're drawing down in other areas, too, in a way. And people don't realize you have only 1 million active duty military members. The stress of the constant overseas deployments on their families is enormous. Anyone who's helping bring those folks home and put them back in the living room and in the kitchen with their families, that's a big deal to them.
Does Trump have a woman problem? As many people would suggest he has, we're not talking about the individual women that give him a problem. We're talking about voters in the suburbs of American cities that are female.
Yeah, so Trump, to me, John, this is actually kind of one of the most interesting questions about elections now and in the near future, because the real block that appears to have been deciding the last couple of elections are suburban women voters who are swinging based entirely on how safe and secure they think they feel for their families. And in the first go-around, they came out and voted for Trump because they felt like he would provide better security. Now, after coronavirus, after everything else, is that still the case? They certainly had moved hard away from him in 2018. But again, you have Democrats, and I know you've had Biden come out now and Harris and, you know, and say some things about some of the rioting that's gone on. But I think most people realize that was 3 months into it. So the question is, and this is a much bigger issue than is getting played in the coastal media.
So if you take a look at the presidential race, and these are what ifs, no question about that. What ifs apply to down ballot to the Senate races? Does the Senate races go as does Trump go?
No, and that's actually really interesting. Is we're seeing a pretty good break in the polling between Trump and some of the down-ballot candidates. And I think that holds. And a lot of it, again, these suburban women voters, do you make them feel comfortable or do you not? Or do they feel like you're one of them or not? And that's, I think, one of the things that Turk McSally, who probably has a much better, you know, security record than Kelly, but hasn't convinced these folks that security blanket applies to them. And a lot of other races. Michigan could be an interesting one. I mean, Michigan could have another 8 or 10 point difference between the Senate race and the presidential.
So give me a prediction. We've talked about what ifs for November 4th. We've had fast forwarded to that day after. What's your percentage if I were going to go to Vegas and lay some money down on Trump getting reelected?
Well, I'm going to give you odds on this. I think there's a 15% chance of a Biden landslide. I think there is a 50% chance of a Biden victory. I think with the remaining 35% you have left, you have a 30% chance of a Trump victory, and you have a 5% chance of a Trump landslide.
Yeah, that sounds like the last time I was in Vegas.
And
I'm not going back either. All right, listen, let me take a break, and I want you to remember, if you will, for me, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You followed her career, we all have, and the significance of this rather amazing woman over these years in this high court situation, dead at the age of 87. So we'll have Sam Stone remembering Ruth Bader Ginsburg after these messages.
I'm Nick Pearson. My motto for many years has been La Comunidad Primero, the community first. Our children are the most important part. We must improve academics and close the student achievement gap. We must improve the technology gap and stabilize the district financially. I'm experienced and well qualified to serve on the TUSD school board. I will provide the balance and strong finance background needed to help stabilize the school district. I'm running for the TUSD governing board and I'm seeking your vote on November 3rd.
For the past 20 years, Beth Ford has served Pima County residents as their county treasurer. 5 times Beth has asked for the support of Pima County voters, and each time voters have responded with a resounding yes. Once again, Beth Ford asks for your vote for Pima County Treasurer. Beth Ford is committed to providing the most professional and efficient service for all of Pima County. Experience matters. Vote for Beth Ford for Pima County Treasurer. This message is approved and paid for by Beth Ford for Treasurer 2020.
I'm Catherine Ripley, and I'm running for Pima Community College Governing Board for District 1. During my 26 years as a U.S. Naval officer, I learned to make critical and strategic decisions when they were most needed. As a former U.S. diplomat, I was the voice that brought diverse and opposing forces together. Today, as an adjunct professor at Pima teaching political science, I've seen lives changed and enriched. And now, as a mom who's raised two children, I'm worried about what a post-pandemic world will look like. The people of Pima County deserve equal access to the affordable education and technical training programs that only can be offered at Pima. They deserve a fair shot at getting jobs. They deserve equity and dignity in the workplace, and we need them now more than ever. This is a critical election year. We need your voice, your values, and your votes. I want to be your voice to ensure we are all heard. Visit our campaign at catforpcc.com. I'm Catherine Ripley, and I approve this message that is paid for by Catherine Ripley for Governing Board.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg, dead at the age of 87. We're talking with Sam Stone. He's a GOP strategist, a consultant, one of the most respected GOP voices in America. He is an aide to Saul DeCicco, who is a city councilman in Phoenix. Sam, what will history books say of this remarkable woman, Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
Well, there's no question at all Ruth Bader Ginsburg is going to go down as one of the towering figures of the U.S. Supreme Court in our history. You know, and I liken it a lot. If you're fans of The West Wing, the TV show out there, you can still go back on Netflix and get it. There's an incredible episode, it was always my favorite, called The Two Supremes, which really reminded me a lot, and I think it's based a little bit on the relationship between Antonin Scalia and RBG, who were really the two, you know, the dynamic progressive pole and the dynamic conservative pole of the court for a number of years. And they had a very close friendship, really enjoyed the back and forth of being able to argue with one another, enjoyed sharpening their minds based on those arguments that they could each make as only they could. And I think when you look at her legacy, in terms of women's rights, in terms of real effect on women's rights, she may be the singular figure in U.S. history. You know, she helped integrate the U.S. military in a number of cases. And she was the founder, I think, of the women's rights movement or women's rights department at the ACLU. You're talking about really one of the women that moved forward from suffrage to true equality for women across this country and in an incredible manner. I'm heartbroken to see her loss.
Let me ask you how this is going to play out, do you think, in her replacement war that's more than likely going to take place? How do you see that unfolding?
You know, it's tough to say, John, because there's so many moving parts to it right now. You've had a number of Republican senators come out and say they don't think this should be voted on before the election or before inauguration. Obviously, Democrats are pushing very hard on that vein. Personally, I have a little tough time taking people seriously when they've been saying for a couple of years that if they get control of the presidency and the Senate, they're going to pack the Supreme Court and add a bunch of additional liberal justices who are squawking over the, you know, the right of a president to go ahead and nominate somebody. I think if you want to talk about throwing precedents out of the water, they're way ahead on that front. But I think one of the things that could be, you know, if people will follow through on it, is essentially a deal that says, hey, listen, we'll hold this till after the inauguration. If Biden wins, he replaces RBG, and we keep the 9-member Supreme Court. If Trump wins, he gets his 6-3 majority. And frankly, I think in either case, that's the best play for the country. But for Trump politically, he should nominate a woman and do it right now. And make Democrats, because the reaction from the left will be hysterical and awful, and I think will highlight the way that he's been treated.
Welcome back with Sam Stone, GOP strategist. Let me ask you very quickly before we leave, did you mention something flattering about West Wing? Did I hear that correct? Aaron Sorkin.
Oh, yeah. Well, John, look,
seriously, come on. Really, from the mouth of Sam Stone, which is one of my favorite shows, and it goes along with Newsroom, and Aaron Sorkin is somewhat of a god figure to me in the television producing world. But your attraction to West Wing from the right, tell me how that comes about.
Well, I liked it as a procedural. I mean, great acting, obviously, all of that. But I thought it also brought political issues that were relevant to the day and relevant to larger swaths of time And I thought it presented a lot of them pretty fairly, quite frankly. Obviously, it always presented the left as having the better solution, but I think it did present characters from the right as being very legitimate. And there's a great story when we have more time on your program from its final season with Jimmy Smits and Alan Arkin at the center of it. There's a really fantastic story from that and from the mock debate that they held, because Sorkin and company really treated it actually as a debate and polled it and all that kind of stuff. It's pretty fantastic.
Well, you weren't going to vote for Bartlett, were you, for president? I don't think.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, his Republican opponents were so unmemorable. I a bit like Joe Biden. So, I guess I might have.
Did your affection for West Wing carry over to Newsroom?
It did at times. I thought Newsroom was not as consistently strong. You know, West Wing, I think if you look at that run, there were really only a handful of episodes throughout it that you would call kind of, you know, slow or dull or that have aged poorly. Newsroom, I thought it was more hit or miss.
I thought the ending of Newsroom was well done. The way they ended.
I think the series was well done. I thought the opening was brilliant. I thought the ending was well done. I thought it was interesting.
Sam Stone, it's always great talking with you. I appreciate you remembering Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I appreciate your soothsaying of the election of 2020. And fast forwarding ahead to November 4th as well. That's what might happen in the states when it comes to these Senate races. But we will talk again and often before this race concludes on the 4th of on the 3rd of November, and we'll be talking about it on the 4th. But I appreciate you being on the show. I appreciate your hard work. I appreciate your intellect and your contributions to our show. Thank you so much.
John, 2020 is a historic year. It wouldn't be the same without you on the radio.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. It's taken a long time to get here. Thank you very much. Sam Stone on the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. We'll be back with Pamela Powers Hanley. Wanted to mention, next week we're going to have Ethan Orr, who's a longtime legislator. We had misscheduled him, and it's my fault entirely, for this next segment. I want you to... Since 1996, Sharon Bronson has served the people of Pima County with leadership, honor, and commitment to responsible government. Sharon led the way for the passage of the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan, which has protected environmentally sensitive lands while assuring new growth pays for itself. Sharon Bronson is a leader, and through these difficult times, we need her leadership more now than ever. Vote for Sharon Bronson for Supervisor in District 3. This message approved and paid for by Bronson for Supervisor. Rex Scott is running for Pima County Supervisor in District 1. For almost 30 years, Rex has been an educator, working as a teacher and an administrator in public schools. Rex Scott's nearly three decades in public education gives him the experience in finding common ground and determining solutions to complex issues. Rex Scott knows District 1. He has served three schools within the district, Floyd Wells Junior High School, Ironwood Ridge High School, and Tortolita Middle School. Rex started his career in public service as the youngest member ever in the city council in his hometown of Athens, Ohio. With 23 years of service as an appointed or elected leader, Rex is far and away the best qualified person to be the next District 1 supervisor. Rex Scott pledges to be accessible, visible, a supervisor with leadership worthy of these challenges. Vote for Rex Scott for supervisor. This message is paid for and authorized by Scott for Supervisor 2020. Pima County Health Department, under the direction of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, works every day to protect Pima County citizens. It is timely that one of Arizona's most respected physicians is stepping forward in the middle of this terrible pandemic to run for a seat at the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Dr. Matt Hines is a former member of the State House of Representatives. If we ever needed a medical expert on the Board of Supervisors, we need that doctor now. We need Dr. Matt Hines for supervisor. Vote for Matt Hines for supervisor. This must message paid for by Hines for Supervisor. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks so much for being with us. And she is the progressive voice of the State House of Representatives. She is a remarkable political figure in Arizona. She is Pamela Powers Hanley. She joins me now. Hi, Pam. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Good. How are you, John? And thank you for the kind words.
Well, you deserve them all. I don't know anybody that's more articulate and more willing to speak for themselves Yeah, you know, it's amazing. I was looking at a quote the other day that said, the voices of our enemies are often drowned out by the silence of our friends.
Yeah.
But the silence of our friends doesn't apply to you. You've always been there for others as well as yourself. We'll talk about that again, but I want to talk about going back to this legislature, which I'm sure you will do, and how are you going to pay the bills? We're in a recession, and this legislature has a great history of taking money they need from places that they can't take anymore, and that's school districts, and we're going to find ourselves, I think, in a terrible situation, even more severe than it has been in funding K-12 education one more time from a legislature that just robs them blind. What's going to happen?
Yes. Well, we have to win this one, right? At all levels, we have to win this one, John. Federal and state, congressional, we really have to, you know, get every Democrat out there and as many independents and Republicans as we can to vote for reason in November. So I am of the mind that we need to open up the tax code and look at those tax giveaways. But that's a long process, right? In the short term, I support both Invest in Ed and Smart and Safe. Both of them will bring some money into public education. Smart and Safe would also bring some money into public health. And so, there are things that we have to raise revenue, but we really need to look at those tax giveaways, that we're giving away, billions every year. And it's time to stop that gravy train, because we really can't afford it. There's also things like results-based funding, which is a Republican program that is like $65 or $70 million. It helps primarily rich schools. Right. We could get rid of that. We could get rid of the Koch brothers school funding that goes to all three universities. So there are things that we could get rid of. And in fact, it's kind of funny because in the clean elections debate this past week, our Republican said that we should get rid of waste, fraud and abuse. And then Dr. Freeze and I started talking about the Koch brothers Freedom School and the results based funding. Yeah, there's some of that we'd like to get rid of for sure.
So, it seems to me
kind of a long answer. I'm sorry.
No, you left on the table. You didn't leave it on the table, but lawmakers left it on the table of some kind of oversight of charter schools in Arizona. These people, not all of them, but many of them are robbing people blind. Charging for things that have nothing to do with education, and then taking the money and buying, sailing ships in the Bahamas. I don't know what they do with their damn money, but the simple truth is that they're stealing from the parents of these poor students in substandard charter schools across the state.
Oh,
why the
God.
Hell
I,
can't this legislature I, regulate these thieves, liars, and scumbags that run some of the charter schools in the state? Tell me why they can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just abominable. I had no idea when I was just a voter before I was a legislator. I didn't realize how uneven the playing field is between charter schools and public schools. You know, they don't do their books the same way. There's no accountability. They don't have public meetings. And in fact, former senator and current senator, actually, technically, and former representative Eddie Farnsworth, who notoriously sold his charter school for $13 million, he kept what he wanted it both ways, right? So he would say, charter schools don't have to have a board of directors and they don't have to have open meetings because a businessman is free to run his business however he wants to, right? But then on days that it suited him, he would say, oh, no, these are public schools, you can't do this, you can't do that. So we definitely need accountability and, we need reform in the charter school. We have lobbyists on some of these oversight committees. I'm sure you already realize this, including on the charter school oversight committee. There are lobbyists on there. And so we need to clean this whole system up, really. I mean, there's quite a bit to do in January.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know how the budget's going to fare in these times. I know there are people that can't afford to pay their taxes, and I think that's going to harm the state. There's no question about that. And there may be $1 billion in a rainy day fund. By the way, it's going to rain like hell because there isn't going to be enough money to pay for a lot of things that are really necessary in the state of Arizona. I worry about the K-12 education because I think they're going to underfund it one more time. And I don't know how many more times we can do this before that just collapses. And I think we're headed for that.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous, for especially now.
Exactly. I mean, this is one of the things that Representative Mitzi Epstein and I, we're both serving on the Ways and Means Committee for the last 2 years. And in 2019 and in 2020, you know, we were on the warpath against giving away more money because we kept saying there are so many programs that were never restored, right? And it's not just public education, you know, there's the maternal and child health, there's, you know, Medicaid, there's a whole list of programs that were never, the universities, community colleges, whole list of programs that were never restored after we got more money. We, you know, the Republican, you know, fairy tale is that we have a budget surplus, so we have to give it away, you know, I mean, I can't tell you how hard she and I debated, especially in 2019, against that revenue neutral. I mean, what business ever said, I want my business to be revenue neutral? That's BS, that is something that businesses want. And so the idea that we're running the state of Arizona like a business and we need to starve these people and throw you know, moms and babies out on the street and have these evictions is just ridiculous. And so I am praying and hoping for a blue wave in both houses in the legislature, because we can't afford those cuts anymore. We couldn't afford them before. We really can't afford them now.
By the way, there is talk that the House will go to the Democrats for the first time, and I can't even remember when Democrats had the House, and the Senate were so long ago, nobody else remembers that either. What are the chances, you think?
I think the chances in the House are good. You know, there were a few of those races that were won by just a few hundred dollars and a few hundred votes, you know, and some of the people have seen the handwriting on the wall and just decided not to run again, like Eddie Farnsworth and Bob Thorpe. And some of those are like, oh, not a good idea. I don't want to waste my time. And so, but yeah, I mean, there are some, and you know, most of them are women. There are some really smart women running for office, you know, like, you know, Kathy Connect and, Joanna Mendoza and Sharon Girard and Coral Evans. I mean, I'm losing some of them. I'm not naming them all, but, you know, there's at least 10 Democratic women who are running for House and Senate who are brand new candidates who are really sharp, and they did very well in the primary. And so I'm rooting for all of them. And so it wouldn't, in the House, you know, judging by who's running, it wouldn't just be a Democratic majority. It would be a woman majority in the House.
Wow. All right. Let's talk about your campaign. I've got about a minute to ask people to, well, vote for you one more time out of Legislative District 9. So go ahead.
Yes. I'm running for a reelection. It's my third term. I'm a clean elections candidate, so I'm not bought and sold by anybody. And so that's what makes me an independent voice. I am the most independent Democrat as far as my votes in the legislature. And so if you want somebody who's going to fight for the people and not pay attention to the money, I'm your gal. And you can read more about it at powersforthepeople.net. I'm on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Follow me.
You've always been my gal, so, and still are. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. We appreciate our voters. I live in Legislative District 9, and you're the first person I voted for on my ballot. And it's going in as soon as I can get it in. And by the way, balloting begins here very shortly, where people can just start voting as early as next week or so. So it's right around the corner.
November 7th, I think, is when they start going out, the pebble.
October 7th? Soon. Yeah, October 7th.
October 7th, October 7th.
Won't be long at all. All right, Pam, thanks for being on the show with us. I appreciate it very much. We'll have you on again very, very soon. Thank you.
All right, thanks, John.
You bet. Pamela Powers Hanley, State Representative, District 9. Vote for her, please. The voices of our enemies are often drowned out by the silence of our friends. I want you to remember that. That's my words to live by today. We're at the Perfectionado Works Studios and so proud to be a part of the, public relations campaign of Mike Emery, who I think doesn't necessarily need one because he has one of the finest auto repair places in America. Perfectionado Works is a great place to have your car repaired by honest people who know what the hell they're doing. Give them a call, 323-8650, 323-8650. We'll be back in just a moment with Larry Bodine, who is an award-winning journalist with the New York Daily News, was at one time, and he's a lawyer. He is also the editor for Blog for Arizona, Washington Post calls it the very best blog in Arizona. He's president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. Next, Larry Bodine on the John C. Scott Show, remembering Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I'm Steve Diamond, and I'm running to be your new Pima County Supervisor. This district hasn't had a competitive election in 48 years, and I'm running to finally give voters like you a real choice. Our current county supervisor, Steve Christie, supports the failed policies of Doug Ducey and Donald Trump. Christie voted against protecting public health during this pandemic. Christie, Ducey, and Trump made Arizona one of the worst COVID-19 hotspots in the world. Pima County can't afford more business as usual. In 2020, change is on the ballot. A vote for Steve Diamond is a vote for environmental protection, fair housing regulations, equal rights, justice, and economic development without tax giveaways. Steve Christie works for special interests. I will work for you. I'm Steve Diamond, and I approve this message, paid for by Steve Diamond for Supervisor.
Today's weather, sunny and clear with cooler temperatures on the way. Now, back to more music.
This was a great idea, honey, to have the family get together. Haven't seen the grandkids in a long time.
Yes, and wait until the kids see the new pool we had installed. They will love it.
Oh boy, I can't wait. Now let's see. New barbecue grill, check. Steaks, check. Cooler full of cold drinks, check. Oh, and perfect weather, check.
Wonderful.
Ah, that was close. Get under cover, honey. Get out of here. It's a twister. It's a twister.
Are you sick and tired of being told it's going to be a nice sunny day, but it's everything except that? Same with auto repair. You're told it's the brakes, but it turns out to be the engine. Call Perfection Auto Works today, 323-8650, for accurate reports on your car or truck repairs, brakes, tires, oil changes, complete auto repair, 323-8650, and perfectionautoworks.com.
Tucson attorney Jeff Rogers is one of the most respected lawyers in Arizona. Jeff is the attorney other lawyers refer when they can't handle the case. The lawyer you choose can make all the difference. When your freedom, finances, or livelihood is at stake, choose the law firm recommended by other law firms. The Jeff Rogers Law Firm is rated preeminent by Martindale Hubbell, the highest award to recognize excellence in American law practice. Call the Jeff Rogers Law Firm at 624-4700. Law offices at 177 North Church Avenue. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. He was an award-winning journalist for the New York Daily News. He's a lawyer. He is president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. He's the editor of the Blog for Arizona, one of the best blogs in America, and he joins me now. Remembering Ruth Bader Ginsburg, here's Larry Bodine. Larry, thanks for being with us.
It's my pleasure, John, and, you know, I'm personally mourning the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who was a great American. And I wanted to add to the introduction that I'm also the president of Democrats of Greater Tucson, and I know that good Americans, you know, in both parties have huge support for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You know, according to the Jewish tradition, a person who dies on Rosh Hashanah, as she did on the first day of the Jewish New Year, it is considered to be a person of great righteousness, and she certainly was. Just to show you the impact she had, within 4 hours after her death was announced, Act Blue, which is the Democratic donation site, raised $20 million in 4 hours. So, John, this is a woman who was born in Brooklyn in the Depression. Her dad was a Russian Jewish immigrant, and she has a quote where she says, "What's the difference between a bookkeeper in New York's Garment District and a Supreme Court justice? Just one generation." And she certainly exemplified that. She went to Harvard Law School in the 1950s, and then transferred to Columbia and graduated while she had a baby. This woman was incredibly brilliant and a really powerful advocate. But back in the 50s, she could not find a job at any law firm. Ended up getting a job clerking for a federal judge. But then everything changed for her in the 1970s when she worked with the American Civil Liberties Union for 3 years, and in that three-year time period, she argued six cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. She advocated for the rights of women, for affirmative action, for the right of minorities to vote and for a woman's right to choose an abortion. And one of the famous cases was in 1973, where the court decided a case she won and argued that female military service members should get the same housing allowance as men. And then 2 years later, in Weinberger versus Wiesenfeld, she successfully argued that it was unconstitutional to deny widowed mothers Social Security benefits that you got if you were a widowed father. And she had the talent and skill and was appointed to the Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. And then she came to the attention of Bill Clinton, who nominated her for the U.S. Supreme Court. And I'm just trying to find the really incredible quote by him where he basically said that Ruth Bader Ginsburg was to the women's movement what Thurgood Marshall was in advocating the right of African Americans. And some of her cases really just exemplify the tremendous influence she had. She was on the Supreme Court for 24 years. And within 3 years after joining the courts, there was a case involving an all-male admissions policy at Virginia Military Institute, which is funded by state taxes, and they refused to accept women. And in the opinion, which struck down that denial of admitting women, she said that generalizations about the way women are and estimates of what is appropriate for women no longer justify denying opportunity to women whose talent and capacity place them outside the average description. And she was primarily known as one of the great dissenters as the court took a more conservative cast. I'll always remember the 2013 decision where the U.S. Supreme Court gutted the Voting Rights Act by saying it was so successful that it really wasn't needed anymore. And in her dissent, Ginsburg wrote, "Throwing out preclearance, meaning election preclearance, when it has worked and is continuing to stop discriminatory changes, is like throwing away your umbrella in a rainstorm because you're not getting wet." She also dissented in a notorious case involving Lilly Ledbetter. She had worked at a company for 19 years and gotten a lower compensation than men. She went to court and was awarded $3.8 million in back pay. But a conservative U.S. Supreme Court threw it out. And Ginsburg said, "This court does not comprehend or is indifferent to the insidious way in which women can be victims of discrimination." And John, the one thing that really ran through all of her life was that she carried that Jewish sense of justice. Hang on, I'm trying to find a...
Got about 40 seconds left here. Go ahead.
All right, I'll close with a quote.
Go ahead, please.
She says, "The demand for justice runs through the entire Jewish history and Jewish tradition." In her walls at her office, she had artist's renditions of Hebrew letters, the command from Deuteronomy, which is Zedek, Zedek, Tirdof, justice, justice you shall pursue. And she said, "Those words are ever-present reminders of what judges must do so that they will thrive."
That's all the time we have, but you've pointed out some amazing things about this remarkable woman who will go down in history as one of the great justices of the Supreme Court. Larry, thank you so much for doing this for us. Thank you very much. You're the best. I appreciate it very much. People should go to Blog for Arizona to find out more about what you do. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Larry Bodine of Blog for Arizona. Thanks for being with us from the Perfection Auto Works studios. This has been the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, everyone.
resistance now, over, in Europe. The last three areas of resistance in Germany are falling apart tonight.
Very quickly, kind of a personal note, I had a timing belt that blew up in my car, which didn't let it run and blew up the motor. So I'm trying to think, give me an honest mechanic that can fix this thing or tell me what I ought to do that's going to make the most sense. So I went over to Mike Embry. I said, can you tell me about this car? He said, here's what I'll do with it. And he's going to put a new timing belt, a new engine on it, and it's going to be a new car when he gets through with it. And I'm going to give you a fair price, which he did. And he fixed it. It runs perfect. I didn't want any more car than what I had after I'd left Perfection Auto Works. And this guy is a great guy. All I care about, he was an honest mechanic who did the right thing for me. And I suggest if you have a car problem, you take it to Perfection Auto Works and take it to Mike Embry at 1046 North Beverly. He just fixed the car at a fair price. It runs perfect. Thanks, Mike.
The fault is not in our stars, but in ourselves. Good night and good luck.